Our thought today is this: making a difference. You have a desire today to make a difference. I pray today that you do. For it is God's will that we blood-bought believers make a difference in the world that is around us. It is God's desire to use us in a great and mighty way to make a difference in this old sinful, terrible world. If you have your Bibles with you today, turn with us to the book of Acts. Acts chapter number 1. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter number 1. As you're turning to the book of Acts, there is no doubt in our mind that you remember how that Jesus in the Gospel of John, chapter 16 and verse number 7, promised the coming of the Holy Spirit. As I began to look at the Word of God and the Holy Spirit began to speak to our heart, the Lord began to instill in my heart how that we today are to be in tune with the will of the Heavenly Father. I can tell you today, dear friends, when we're in tune and doing what it is that God would have us to do, I can tell you today, you can make a difference in this old, cruel, sinful world. Make a difference. You say, well, Brother Liam, why is that so important to you? Because, dear friends, dedicated people of faith made a difference in my life. You think about them, O saints of God, that you remember growing up as a kid that would stain the altar with their tears when they were praying for those, their families, that were lost, that were backslidden, that were undone. There's not a one of you that are here this morning that someone has not lifted up in prayer. There's not a one of you here this morning that have not burdened someone's heart because that they love and that they care for you. I thought about these things these days of late, and how important that it is that you and I today be willing to be used by God in a tremendous way. You see, dear friends, the Lord has a desire to not only bless us, but to help us. Not only to help us, but to enable us to make a difference in the world today. In the book of Acts, in Acts chapter number 1, we want to be able to read verse number 15. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names were about 120. Men and brethren, the scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was outnumbered, or he was numbered with us, and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, falling headlong and burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. It was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as the field is called the proper tongue, Akalima, that is to say, the field of blood. We'll stop reading right there as we've looked at a few verses in the book of Acts, chapter 1, as we began to read in verse 15. When the Lord laid this message upon our heart, He began to remind us of His desire. His desire was for us to continue the work that Jesus had put in place. It was God's desire that we be used by Him in a way that would grow the kingdom of God. We began to look here at Acts chapter 1 in verse 15. And the Lord was in the midst of His disciples. He was encouraging them to carry on in His absence, because we see in the Word that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had promised them the coming of the Holy Spirit. And as they were there in the midst, we see here, Peter stood and he began to share and he began to conduct the business that was at hand. Oh, dear friends, look at this very closely. For you see, the Bible tells us in verse number 15 that they were 120 there. I thought about that very much these days of late, because you see, dear friends, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians in chapter 15 in verse number 6 that they were 500 that was there after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You say, Brother Lynn, what do you mean by that? We mean this, dear friends, the people that had gathered around and seen the Lord, many of them, like people today, have fallen by the wayside. I tell you, if you would look at this passage from 1 Corinthians, you would think that 500 would spread the word throughout the land. And when the disciples would gather there in the upper room in Acts chapter 1, you would think that they would be numbered in the thousands. You say, why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ had done so much for those in Judea. And I thought about that as I thought about each and every one of us. Look how that we have been blessed and been touched by the Lord. But when you look at the crowds and the assemblies, they are few and far between. You would think, dear friends, with all that the Lord has done in our lives today, you would think that we would have to set out cheers. You would think that the church of the living God would be busting at the seams. But I tell you today, it's not about who's not here. Praise God, it's about who is here. Oh, I thought about that because you see, dear friends, as Peter and the followers of Christ was there in the upper room, the Bible tells us in verse 15 that there were but 120 there. When I look at this congregation today, we're not many more there than they are here. But when I think about how that the Lord Jesus Christ had impacted their lives, I thought about the pulling of the world. I, like you, have said many times, I just don't get it. I just don't understand. God is so good to us, and how good are we to Him? And I thought, as I poured over this, how that Peter had a desire to fill the role of the betrayer Judas, how that Peter had a desire to be used by God, how that he and a few of the disciples was staying the course, and that they were keeping the faith. Oh, dear friends, I want you to understand something today. It is of the utmost importance for us to keep the faith and stay the course, because I can tell you, it's the Lord Jesus Christ who works with those who have a desire in their heart to go forward. Because I tell you today, we that are assembled in the house of prayer with the love of Jesus Christ in our heart, we today are the ones that God can use to make a difference in the world that's around us. We find ourselves looking very closely at verse 15. For in the midst of the disciples were but 120. And oh, dear friends, when the Holy Spirit came on that day of Pentecost, the Lord blessed in a mighty way. If you remember in the Gospel of John, in John 14, in verse number 12, Jesus would say to those that would assemble in the faith, he would say, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me and the word do, shall he also do, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." What Jesus is saying is, when I go unto my Father, you that are faithful, willing to stay the course and keep the faith, I will use you in a tremendous way. And Peter here in Acts 1 and verse 15, he stood to conduct the business at hand. His dedication, his willingness to do what it is that God would have him to do would be a blessing in a great and in a mighty way. Will you see, dear friends, the days that would come, the Holy Spirit would come on the day of Pentecost. He would come and he would envelop those faithful followers. And the Bible says in Acts 2 and verse 41, that 3,000 was added to the church. What's that saying? It's saying this: because people were willing, people were doing what it is that God would have them to do, the church of the living God, he grew in a tremendous, in a glorious way. And it started out with just a meager few. Just a meager few. Oh, dear friends, if you look at what Jesus did in his 3+ year ministry, if you've seen what happened there in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you would think that the masses would be great. Well, the same God had blessed then is the same God that blesses today. But where are the masses? 500 seen him after his resurrection. You would think that every time the disciples gathered, it would be standing room only. We had 120. 120. You know, I thought about that. Nothing against UT football. I enjoy UT football. But they can have a scrimmage and have 80,000. They can. They can have a scrimmage and have 80,000. They can have a meet and greet, and there are masses upon masses of people. And I thought about that upper room. Wonder if old Peter was discouraged. I used to think when I first got into ministry, I was a poster child for discouragement. I've preached to more empty pews than I could shake a stick at. Peter pressed on. Peter pressed on. And I can tell you today, dear friends, there's no doubt in our mind that he didn't know what tomorrow held. But praise be to God, through the power of the Lord, he knew who held tomorrow. And I began to focus upon that. Because you see, dear friends, that 120 that was there at the upper room that day in Acts 1 and 15, the Lord used them in a tremendous way to grow the church of the living God. You say, "Brother Lynn, how does that affect me?" You're here today because of their dedication. We're here today because of them. We're here today because the Lord Jesus Christ desired to use them and to bless them to impact the world in a wonderful, glorious way. What if nobody came to the upper room? What if nobody showed up that day? What if nobody prayed for you? What if nobody witnessed to you? What if nobody cared? Where would we be? I tell you, we'd be in sad shape. We would be, as the old timer would say, we'd be hurting for certain. But because men and women were willing to do what it is that God would help them to do, the Lord bless in tremendous ways. I thought about the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. They're in Luke 24, and Jesus had came in their midst, and the Bible says he began to teach them, beginning at Moses and all the prophets. He had expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning him in Luke 24 in verse 27. And the Bible tells us that these men's heart burned. They were stirred and they were moved. Oh, praise be to God for the movement of the Lord. Thank God. What did Jesus do? Jesus came and set the example. And the Bible tells us in Luke 24, in verse 52, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. We want happiness today. We want people around us to be happy today. We want people around us to be able to see, know, and realize what it means to serve the Lord. The way that's going to happen, dear friends, is when we're willing to be used to make a difference. To make a difference. You see, dear friends, when the Lord laid this message upon our heart, we begin to focus on who is not here and who has a desire to be here, and those who can't be here and those who can be here choose not to be here, and it sometimes boggles our mind. But then the Holy Spirit spoke to our heart and said, Lynn, don't worry or be concerned about those who are not, but praise my glorious name for those who are. Thank God for you today. Thank the Lord for you today. These two right here witnessed to a realtor. Now, I hate to say, what would have become of that realtor if you guys hadn't been saved? She would have went on to her realty business, and she would have sold you the house, and she would have went on her way. Lost as a ball in high winds. But because of those who are willing to be used, those who are willing to share, those who are willing to wade through all the trial and the tribulation of life to declare the goodness of Jesus Christ, praise God, they're saved. Peter didn't conduct that business to replace Judas with Matthias just to have something to do. Peter wasn't going through the motions in the upper room just to be seen or heard. Did he have worries? Yes. Did he have woes? Yes. Just think, a little while earlier, he was the denier of Christ. You're talking about an emotional roller coaster. This man was a basket case. But the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 2, he declared the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when the day of Pentecost had came, scholars and theologians believe in Acts 2, in verse number 1, that those that had been touched by the Holy Spirit had tucked to the streets there in Jerusalem. And the crowds came. They came in great multitude and prayed. Praise be to God through the word of the living, breathing Jesus Christ. Souls were saved for the kingdom of God. Making a difference. Making a difference. You say, well, Brother Lynn, I didn't get saved or my life wasn't changed under an apostle or a disciple like old Peter. Well, neither was mine. I was exposed to the love of Jesus Christ at Beach Grove Baptist Church. Old country people that loved Jesus, who praised His glorious name, who would go to church come hell or high water. They were there. I can remember old Mad Hill, bless her heart, she could just barely walk. K-Ro was the choir leader up there. Poor old Matt, she just lived to teach training union. And I can remember taking her back home after training union because she wasn't physically able to stay for church. And she'd hold on to my arm as we'd walk through her yard. That was the highlight of her week, to teach training. I think about that. You know why I think about that? Because it tells old saints of God that made a difference in my life. And I pray today for you that are assembled in the house of prayer that you have a desire in your heart and in your life to make a difference in those around you. You may not always feel like it. It may not always be convenient. Lord knows if we acted when it was convenient and we felt like it and everything fell in place, we wouldn't act at all. Peter had problems. There's no doubt in my mind that 120 were problem-free. No, they had problems too. But there was something that was within them that stirred. Something within them that moved them. I thought about Peter. I did. I thought about him there in the upper room. And I began to focus. Did he look out over that crowd and think there'd be 1,200 there that day? Or did he think it would be a much greater crowd than that? I don't know. But I can tell you, with that 120 that made its way that particular day, it did not deter him from doing what it is that the Lord would have him to do. So we say that to say this: don't get discouraged, but be encouraged, and don't worry about who ain't, but praise God for who is. God will bless you, and God will use you to be a blessing to others. You know why? Because this word right here is infallible. It's infallible. It's perfect in every way, form, or fashion. And I thought about that so, so very much. They brought Matthias into scene. Later, the Apostle Paul would have his life changed on the Damascus Road in Acts chapter number 9. The church of the living God began to grow. It began to blossom. It began to prosper. It was nourished by those who had a desire to make a difference. My prayer is today, dear friends, that we have a desire to make a difference in the world that's around us. People says, well, don't see people come to the altar anymore. Don't see people saved. Don't see people rededicated their life. You don't see any of the things that we used to see. I'll be the first to agree with you on that. But I want to tell you something today, friends. The Lord Jesus Christ is the same today as He was yesterday. And praise God, He will. That altar's still here. Prayers are still lifted up. The same Jesus that touched the 120 is the same Jesus that touched the 3,000. It's the same Jesus that has touched us. Simply through and by those who had a desire in their heart to make a difference. Let's leave here today. Let's leave here today with a desire to make a difference. Let's leave here today
with the desire and the want in our lives to have a witness, to have a testimony that changes a life for the glory of God. As Brother Joey stated earlier, the Lord's still in the saving business. He's still in the helping business. He's still in the uplifting business. He's still willing to rededicate and change hearts, minds, and souls. All it takes is for those who are willing to make a difference and those who are willing to do for the glory of God. Let's stand to it.